a very good and a blessed day of the Lord, where we come to the house of God, we worship Him, and now we come to hear the preaching of His word. Last week we looked at John chapter 11, we read from verse 1 to 16. And we have seen what the love of Christ is and what the love of Christ is not. That was our purpose last week. We have realized that the love of Christ is not determined by a quick response from Him when we pray or when we ask anything from Him. We have also realized that the love of Christ is not determined by lack of suffering and lack of sorrows in our own lives. And we concluded and saw that His love is actually unconditional, regardless of what is happening, regardless of what takes place in our lives or carrying on in our lives, His love does not change. And I've asked the question, have we come to such love? Have we received such grace? Do we have that life of Christ in us? So with that behind our minds, let us open again to John chapter 11. And today we're only going to read from verse 28 to
37.
Though our aim is actually to look only in verse, to look only at verse 35. So we read from verse
28 to 37.
When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise and quickly and go out, they followed her, supposingly that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Verse 35, Jesus wept. When last did you see or hear of a well-respected man weeping in public? You think of the death of former President Nelson Mandela. And you ask yourself, really, did you see our President Jacob Zuma weeping in public? Did you see our former beloved President Thabo Mbeki weeping in public at the death of Nelson Mandela? Did the Honorable Sir Kgalema Motlanthe weep publicly at that death of Nelson Mandela? I'm not saying they were supposed to, and I'm not saying they are wrong for not doing so. But I'm bringing before you men of status, public figures, people who will not weep for you even when they claim they love you. So this morning we are introduced not to a public figure that is well respected by many. We are introduced to a man who comes and weep at the death of Lazarus. He comes and weep with Martha and Mary, who has just lost their brother. We are introduced to the Creator of heaven and earth, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. We are introduced to the Most High God, the Everlasting Father, weeping at the death of Lazarus. I want us to look at this verse this morning and see or try to understand these tears of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why will the Son of God pour out his tears in this way, knowing that he would have actually called Lazarus from the dead? Why will the Son of God weep in such a way, knowing that he actually would have stopped him from even getting sick, just as he did with that centurion's son in John 4, verse
50?
When the centurion man came to him and he said, "My son is sick," Jesus says, "I don't have to come with you. Go, your son will be fine. Go, your son will live." But today is weeping, knowing that he will still raise Lazarus from the dead. So why did he weep? That is my aim this morning. That is what I need to answer. Why did Jesus weep at the death of Lazarus? So Jesus has finally come to Bethany after Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And now Jesus comes and he meets Martha, and Martha goes back to call Mary, who also came to see the Lord. The Bible says Mary came and she fell at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can imagine the sorrow that consumed them, the sorrow in their faces. You can imagine the hopelessness in life that they will live without their brother Lazarus. To live a life without a male figure in the house, someone who will look after them, someone who will protect them, someone who will maybe provide food and so on in their lives. Now they must go through life without their brother.
ona bana ha no phela ba sina monna ka ntlo monna ana tla ba hlokomela ana tla ba fa ana tla hlokomela tlhoko tsa bona.
I remember when I was still at school how the young girls who did not have brothers in the school, how they used to suffer because they did not have anyone to take care of them and look after them. You realize there that it is very important to have a brother. We know that the brothers also endure the beating while they're trying to take care of their sister. And I'm not suggesting that is the case with Martha and Mary, but we must know definitely that surely the death of Lazarus has taken strength from them. They were affected by this death in a very specific way. But what stands out where we just read this morning? Jesus wept. There are two things that I want us to consider this morning as we look at the tears of Jesus Christ. Two things that I would like us to look, and these two things will further our understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I want us to look at the compassion of Jesus. Speaking compassion. Yeah, at least that one. Yeah. We're going to see first the compassion of Jesus Christ. And secondly, I want us to see the sharing of his tears foreshadowing his death. The sharing of his tears foreshadowing his blood. His blood that will be poured out from the cross. I want us to remember those hands. I want us to remember those feet nailed on that cross for our sins. So first, let me say, there is no verse in the Bible that reveals so profoundly the humility, and the deep compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ than
John 11:35.
We see here how overwhelming it is. It's so overwhelming to see the Lord weeping side by side with Martha and Mary. The Lord sharing his tears with his people. The Lord sharing their sorrows and their pain. He sympathized with them. And surely we know, brethren, he was not weeping for Lazarus, because Lazarus was dead. He was weeping with the living, and weeping for the living, not for the dead. Because Lazarus was going to be raised from the dead. So I want us to see his love and his kindness in this weeping, in his tears. We see a Savior who knows how to comfort his people. A Savior who so closely attached to his people. A Savior who does not delight in the sorrows of his people. We know that last week we did say that Jesus Christ stayed for two more days when he heard that Lazarus was sick. But death does not mean that he delights in the sorrows of his people. The Bible says when he when he came and he saw them weeping, Jesus Christ was deeply moved in his spirit. He was greatly troubled in his heart. So he was moved with great and deep and profound sorrow in his heart. His spirit was troubled. He was moved by their grief. The Son of God was touched by the suffering of his people. The Son of God is still touched by the suffering of his people even today. You see a full demonstration of the love and the sympathy of Christ for his people. You see a complete expression of his love. Just like the Bible says in verse 3, in chapter 11, when they sent someone, they said, Lord, he whom you love is ill. And in verse 5, the Bible says, Jesus loved Martha, his sister, and Lazarus. So now we see this expression, this true expression of his love. His act is, he's putting it into public. He manifests this love to them. But when we just read, we also see that his love was also evident to everyone. His love was seen by the people who came to comfort and actually weep for this with his family. They saw the love of Christ themselves. They say, see how he loved him. They saw how he cares about our emotional challenges, how he cares about our suffering, our weakness, how he sympathizes with us. If you read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, the Bible says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. But one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So as we look at the compassion of Christ, we see a God, the Lord, who is able to identify with his people. Someone who is not far from us, who sticks closer than a brother, who's there in the times of need. God who does not distance himself from his people in the times of sorrow, in the times of trouble, is with us. This is the Emmanuel who was and is and still to come. God with us. We see how we feel about us. We see how we feel about our suffering. We see how we feel about our sorrows in this world. It's important for us to know that. As we see Jesus weeping, we see also Martha and Mary weeping. Then we begin to learn that our weeping is not in vain. We've got Christ who cares about us and he weeps with his people. So in other words, our weeping and our sorrows and our suffering, they mean something to him. It is not in vain. When we pour out our hearts, where we cry unto the Lord and call him in our sufferings, it is not in vain. He is able to sympathize with us. Not only do we see his deep compassion, but we see also a great example before us. We see someone we can learn from, that we may also love one another, that we may also have compassion for one another, that we may care for one another as brothers and sisters. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verse
15,
rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. So it's very important to look at this in this way. It is very important to see Christ teaching us a lesson to begin with. As we weep with his people, as we weep for those who are still alive, we see the love of Jesus Christ. We see the Lord who's got the right then to call us into a relationship because he's got love for his people. Who are these people? Martha and Mary and Lazarus. These are disciples. These are followers of Jesus. Jesus poured out his tears for his people. So if you are in Christ, so if you have come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you know for sure that Christ cares for you. You are his priority. So you do not want to let your own judgment and your own faithless thinking to rob you of the truth that Jesus Christ cares about his people. What you need to do, what you want to do is to lean to him, is to learn from him, because he is lowly in heart, he is meek in heart. As you weep with these people, as you weep for them, we see him wiping their tears in his
face.
How comforting it is when you weep and you know the Lord weeps with you. Can you put yourself in the feet of Martha and Mary while they were weeping there, and Christ weeps for them with them as well? That takes away their sorrow. That takes away their tears. And then we begin to rejoice in that, brethren. Because we do not weep like those who do not have hope. We do not weep like those who are outside the Lord Jesus Christ. But finally, as these people look at the resurrection of Lazarus, they see what should bring hope to them. They see Lazarus coming to life. They weep, Jesus wiped their tears, showing how much he loves them, showing how much he loves his people. Then he raised Lazarus from the dead, and then their joy was restored. They were so happy. Will you not be happy if someone is raised from the dead? But this raising from the dead has got a spiritual angle in it. I want us to look at this in the second point. I want us to look how the tears of Jesus foreshadows his death, how the tears of Jesus foreshadows his blood on the cross. Verse 33, it says he was deeply troubled in his spirit. When you look at the Greek date, it means he was angry. He was not angry because people were weeping. He was not angry because Martha and Mary, they say, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. He was not angry because the people, they looked for answers from him. He was not angry because his disciples were sitting there, standing there, and doing nothing to help him. But listen, he was angry for the sin, the sickness, and the death that had entered into the world, that had come to this world that God has created and said everything was good. He remembers when God created, he said, it is good. But sin brought death. And Lazarus now is lying in a tomb because sin brought death. Not that Lazarus is dead because he was a sinner, but the wages of sin is death. Christ was angry. And I said when I began my first point that there is no verse in the Bible that brings it so beautifully. It brings the humility, the humanity, and the deep compassion of Christ. There's also no verse. There's also no verse in the Bible that shows the seriousness of sin and death like John 11:35. We see how serious death is. Christ wept. He shed his tears with his people and for his people. That's what it means when it says Christ wept. When you read in Luke 19 verse 41 to 44, we see Jesus also weeping there. And he was approaching Jerusalem and he felt deep sorrow in his heart because of the sins of the city, the sins of the people. In Matthew 26, verse 36 to 46, also Jesus is weeping. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's weeping for the sins of the people. He's weeping also because of the justice of God that was to come upon him for the sake of his people. The Bible says he was sorrowful. He tells us that the hand of God was upon him. He was pressing him down. You get a picture of the place where they make vine, where they make wine. They take grapes and they press it down until all the juice is out, and it goes out drops by drops. So God's hand was upon Christ for the sake of us when he pressed him like that, and he felt sorrow in his heart, and he fell on his knees, and he fell down on his face as he carried those sins upon his shoulders, and he drank this cup of sorrow, he drank this cup of God, of the wrath of God for our sake. The Bible says he sweated drops of blood. Do we see how and how much our sin cost the Lord Jesus Christ? So John chapter 11 verse 35 tells us that Jesus wept. In other words, he shed a tear for his people. That ultimately moved us to the cross. We see the Son of God who bore sin for his people. We see his suffering. He was anticipating of the coming wrath of God upon him.
a wile alla tsaba ke san to sa tsho di bitsa batho ha ba hala ba modimo to bole to o di mahai to a ka le bakala sebe sa ba.
So his shedding of tears, it gives us a picture of his shedding of blood.
Bolla wa hai ne le to po pon to pele ba ke san to sa
as he share
as
he shed his tears for his people, those that he came to save. As he shed the tears, we see the picture of Christ shedding tears, shedding blood for those who will come to him in faith and in repentance.
Tomadiai aswa bakeng sa balogo na mhatla dumela ho yena ka ntshotumelo le ka ntho sokolo ya dibe.
So he was weeping because he was anticipating of that journey to Jerusalem where he was going to be nailed on that cross for our sins. So we can see that these tears of Christ were not some ordinary tears that you cry out there. These tears speak of suffering. These tears speak of the wrath of God that was going to be poured upon the Son of God who came to take our sin. This tears displays the horrible and grievous gap of our sin. This tears shows us how deep we have fallen into sin. It reminds us of the wrath of God that is still to come upon all sinners, upon all transgressors, upon all lawbreakers, upon all those who reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who think they stand right with him without his blood, the wrath of God is upon.
Oh no, Puta, I got to learn with him with Ethel, but in Sabalor and Awadu Bay.
He looked at Lazarus and he's reminded of that price that he was to pay. He looked at Lazarus and he sees his own body lying in the tomb for 3 days. The Bible calls him in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, a man of sorrow acquainted with grief. A man who experienced the whole wrath of God. Grief in this way. All kinds of sorrows was appointed. So he was touched in his life because of the punishment that was to come upon him because of
that.
How will he not weep as he anticipates of that great day where the wrath of God shall be poured upon him. Oh, the hatred and the scorn that he was to suffer in the hands of lawless and wicked men. How will he not weep as he knows that he will be flogged even to the point of death? How will he not weep as he knows that he will have to suffer and absorb the full wrath of God? But praise to be our God. Because the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. So all that had happened to him, it is cause of us that may be saved. He was wounded for a transgression, and upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And in those stripes, we have been healed. So now we see he poured out his tears, and after that, a man was raised from the dead. So we remember that when he poured out his blood, after that, many sons and daughters were brought also unto life. He points us to the cross. Another hymn writer says, at the cross, where I first saw the light. The burden of my heart was rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Do we think of the cross of Christ? Can we think of that cross of Christ so often? Another writer, I think it was Charles Spurgeon, said we cannot think of that cross often enough. It jumps us. Even when you try to think about it second by second, but we cannot grasp the full love of God as the wrath of God was poured on the Son of Man. You read chapter 1 of the second book of Timothy, verse number 10. The Apostle Paul speaks of the death of death. He speaks of the defeat of death. He speaks of Christ who came and abolished death. He speaks as though death was this kind of a giant that was walking in the world without a challenger, going up and down, house to house, camp to camp, wiping everything. Those who like to watch TV, I don't know if they still have those games of gladiators. When in my time we used to watch gladiators. So you think of a gladiator who has no record of defeat and stands in that Colosseum, he challenges everyone, he stands triumphant because no one can take him down, and he lavish everyone with fear. Death. Death was like death in our lives. No one could take it down. No one could wipe our sins away that we may not fall into this. That we may not fall into the hands of God. But Apostle Paul says, Jesus, he came and abolished death. So at the cross, we see Jesus dying and defeating death and sin for his people. These tears, they're reminding us of that. So this dead Lazarus, while he's still in that tomb, he reminds us of our own death. We remember that we were dead and separated from God. In our sin, we are still dead and separated from the true and the living God. We see that because Lazarus, in his death, he was separated from his family. He could not have contact with his family. We see his sisters standing far and weeping while he's lying in the tomb. He cannot say anything to them. They cannot say anything to him. So we were before God, prior to our regeneration, we were dead in our trespasses and sin, separated from the living God. So we needed someone to weep, we needed someone to pour out tears, we needed someone to pour out his blood on the cross, that we may be raised from the dead, that he may call us and say, Lazarus, come out. Have you heard that voice of the Lord in your life? Have you responded to that voice when the Lord says, come out of your tomb and live? He released us from that bondage of sin, from the power of the prince of the air, from the dominion of Satan. We are rescued by the death of Jesus Christ. Now he's calling. And he's got the right to call. Because he alone is the source of life. He's got the right to call. Because he alone conquers death. He's got the right to call. Because he alone raises to life. He calls and says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He calls and says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, rest of your soul. He's got the right to call. He's got the power to call. He's the one and the true source of life. He says to Martha in verse 25, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. Let me say this. It is very simple to read this story of Lazarus, Martha, Mary, and Jesus, and just appreciate it. It is easy to just admire the story. Oh, Jesus raised somebody from the dead. Oh, Jesus wept. It's easy to just admire and see the miracles and see the Lord that loves and we claim God loves us all and miss the point. John was not writing that we may admire the story. Jesus did not weep so that we may admire him. He did not weep that we may have a story to tell. But that we may come to him in faith. That his tears may wash our sins away. That when we think of this, we remember the cross, we remember how sinful and deep in sin we were. That he may lead us from sorrow to happiness. From suffering to joy. From pain to comfort. Two things. His tears shows us his humility, his humanity, his deep compassion for his people. We know that it does not delight in our sorrows, in our pain, in our sickness. It does not take pleasure. So we've got the right to come to him and say, Lord, I'm suffering. When you are sick, you've got the right to come to him and say, Lord, if you will, heal me. You've got the right to call upon him. And Martha and Mary also sent someone to call on Christ. They sent someone to call on Christ when their brother was sick. But above all, his tears is foreshadowing his death on the cross for our sins. His tears is foreshadowing his blood on that cross. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Now, which is why we sing the song, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in him? Are you fully trusting in his grace? Are your sins nailed on that cross? Because two things, my friends. It's either your sins are nailed at the cross, or you yourself will have to suffer for your own sins. If I'm you, I will bring my sins unto the Lord. The question is, does the tears of Jesus draw you near? Do you see your need in life? Do you see the need of a Savior? Do you see the need to be with someone that will love and care for you? Do you see a need of salvation? Don't be like the Pharisees. They rejected Christ. But not only the Pharisees. Even here where we just read this morning, if you go further, the people who experienced the miracle of Lazarus being raised from the dead. But what they did, verse 46, what they did in verse 46, the Bible says they did not believe. But what did they do? They went back to the Pharisees and told them of what Jesus has done. You can hear the message and go back and do nothing about it. But here's my point. God is not going to overlook our sins. Justice. God is all about justice. And we see justice at the death of Christ. But we receive that as grace. For our sins were nailed on that cross. So what are you going to do? There's a question. Are you going to go back like those who saw the miracle and didn't believe? Are you going to go back home and continue to your sins? Are you going to go back and continue your sins and act as though you had nothing and act as though you saw nothing? Or are you going to go back home like Martha and Mary, rejoicing, having experienced the comfort of the Lord? Are you going to go back home like Lazarus, being raised from the dead? For the Bible tells us that outside Christ we are dead, but He came into the world to raise us from the dead. If we believe in Him, if we put our lives upon Him, if we cast our burden upon Him, He raised people from the dead. And we live. So what are you going to do? Like the rest of the people, or like Lazarus, or like Martha? But I pray that we all go home. I pray that we either go home like Martha and Mary with great joy and smile on our face, feeling the comfort of the Lord, the compassion of Christ, the kindness of Christ, the love of Christ, or going home like Lazarus, raised from the dead. Jesus wept for our sins. He wept. It won't help you to weep for your sins. Weeping for your sins doesn't save. Look at the tears of Christ. He alone saves. Meaning a tandas. Thank you. Let's pray. Precious and wonderful God, even this morning you are great, you are God. Even this morning, our Savior, you speak to us, you're reminding us of the death of Christ, His love, His care and compassion for us. But above all, oh God, you're reminding us of the cross, where the sinless Lamb of God was slain for our iniquities and sins, where the sinless Lamb of God carried our sins and was pressed down, oh God, with that full wrath of God that was upon Him, that we may be raised from the dead. Thank you for His blood. Thank you for His life. Raise someone even this morning, our God. Even those that hear me from the outside of this tent, O Savior, may your word go and raise them from the dead. May they be called, O God, from the death and the garbage of sin unto your marvelous light. Have mercy on us, O God, as the week begins, as we go different places, work. Have mercy on us. Guide your people. Lead your people, Lord. Build the church, O Heavenly Father. Bring people unto you through your grace and mercy. We pray all this for the sake of Christ. Amen. Now, may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who comes, He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.